President Trump's decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria is met with bipartisan criticism.
The sort of implication, I think, broadly speaking, is that the U.S. will lose influence in Syria and will create openings for its foes to gain influence in the region.
Plus, an appeals court holds up an order that President Trump must release his tax returns. It's Monday, October 7th. This is the PM edition of What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. House committees have issued more subpoenas for documents on the Trump administration's dealings with Ukraine as part of their ongoing impeachment inquiry into President Trump. On Monday, lawmakers subpoenaed the Pentagon and the Office of Management and Budget, seeking documents related to President Trump's decision to delay nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine. Lawmakers have given the Pentagon and the Budget Office 8 days to hand over the documents. HSBC is planning additional job cuts on top of the 5,000 announced earlier this year. Now, up to 8,000 jobs could be cut as the bank prepares to sell off its French retail bank and reduce its global footprint. The Wall Street Journal's Margot Patrick says interim CEO Noel Quinn is trying to show he can turn the bank around.
In August, the former CEO, John Flynn, was fired from the job. And one of his colleagues, Noel Quinn, took over as the interim CEO. So Noel Quinn has about 6 to 12 months while HSBC decides whether it wants to hire him as its CEO or look outside for a CEO. And what Noel Quinn's looking to do now is to lower the cost base, get ready for maybe a slowdown in revenue in some of its main markets, which include Hong Kong and the UK. And both of those areas are under pressure. In Hong Kong, we have the anti-government protests, which have been hurting business sentiment. In the UK, we had a contraction in the second quarter in economic output. Households and businesses aren't spending as much. So HSBC is trying to get in front of those issues and lower its cost base. So Noel Quinn, in his attempt to become the permanent CEO, is looking to be a man of action, which is what his predecessor, John Flynn, was not, as far as the board of the bank was concerned.
HSBC has been undergoing restructuring since 2011. Since then, the bank has pulled out of dozens of businesses and reduced the number of countries it operates in. General Electric is freezing its pension plan for about 20,000 U.S. workers and offering buyouts to 100,000 former employees, joining a growing number of U.S. companies phasing out guaranteed retirement. The conglomerate says the move will reduce its pension deficit by up to $8 billion. GE says the changes won't affect those already receiving pension payments. The company is still responsible for lifetime payments to more than 500,000 retirees, workers, and beneficiaries. An analysis by The Wall Street Journal finds that federal hiring under President Trump emphasizes his policy priorities. Hiring increased for border control, veterans, and the military, while hiring in education, labor, and housing and urban development fell. The analysis found the federal workforce has grown under the Trump administration, but at a more modest pace than under his two predecessors. It's not uncommon that federal hiring aligns with an administration's policies. Under the Obama administration, the workforce at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services expanded more than 44% as the administration worked to implement the Affordable Care Act. The Houston Rockets have been banned from China's official broadcast channels after the team's general manager, Daryl Morey, tweeted support for demonstrators in Hong Kong. Morey's tweet, which has since been deleted, outraged Chinese NBA fans and online retailers who took down Rockets merchandise from Alibaba, the country's largest e-commerce platform. That put millions of dollars in revenue and ad sponsorship in jeopardy. The NBA is trying to smooth things over, saying it regretted that Chinese fans were offended. Some fans called for boycotts of the team, one of the most popular in the NBA's international market. The league's online broadcasts reached 490 million people in China last year. U.S. troops are starting to pull out of northern Syria after President Trump ordered their withdrawal on Sunday, clearing the way for Turkey to launch an offensive against Kurdish fighters there. The Kurds have led the fight against Islamic State militants in Syria and were backed by the U.S., but Ankara considers the Kurdish fighters terrorists. President Trump's move is drawing condemnation from Democrats and Republicans alike. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell warned that withdrawing from Syria would benefit U.S. foes. And Senator Lindsey Graham, a close ally of the president, said the decision would ensure a comeback by Islamic State and called it, quote, a disaster in the making. Joining me now from Washington with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Nancy Youssef. Nancy, the Kurds have been an important ally for the U.S. and the Middle East, not just in Syria, but it's a different story when it comes to the relationship between Turkey and the Kurds. Why is Turkey upset about the U.S. partnership with Kurdish forces?
So, as you mentioned, elements of Kurdish forces have been an instrumental part in the campaign against ISIS. They were the fighting force. They took a lot of casualties and were the keystone to the defeat of ISIS in Syria. But at the same time, for Turkey, elements of those forces known as the PKK are seen as a terrorist organization. And for Turkey, the Kurdish ability to sort of defeat ISIS also meant that they've now have forces that they consider terrorists up on their southern border. And so for Turkey, the idea that the U.S., even though they're both NATO allies, are working to bolster and embolden a group that it considers a terrorist organization has always been an unacceptable outcome in the war against ISIS.
And what can you tell us about Turkey's plans in Syria?
So President Erdogan has been threatening for months to send in his forces into Syria to rid the Kurdish elements that now have territory and are in control of border towns, particularly in areas where there are Turkish forces also operating, places like Tel Abyad in the sort of north central part of that border. And so what we've seen is a buildup of forces and certainly an escalation of rhetoric about entering into Syria. He has said that he wants to remove those Kurdish elements on the border and use that land to resettle more than 2 million Syrian refugees living in Turkey.
What have we heard from President Trump about his decision to pull back U.S. forces?
Trump for months has really celebrated and boasted about the fact that the caliphate has been 100% defeated, as he's put it. And he has been saying that he no longer believes that U.S. forces need to be there, given that ISIS is been defeated. He's also said that he doesn't want the United States in any way supporting the holding of Syrian fighters or internally placed persons who are associated with ISIS, and that that falls on Europe and other nearby nations to deal with. And so his reasoning was the war is over. The U.S. doesn't need to be there anymore. Local forces need to address the threat that ISIS poses. And he's of the opinion that Turkey can adequately guard any suspected ISIS fighters and stop the ISIS resurgence.
We've heard from a lot of critics on both sides of the aisle about President Trump's decision. Dissent within the ranks of his own party comes also as he's facing a House impeachment inquiry.
So I think one of the things you're seeing today is a decisive split between the president and some key Republican allies who have backed him up until now on the impeachment inquiry. And so you're starting to see one area where there's real division. And also, I think there are some fears that one of the motivations for this is to have a really substantial foreign policy win, in this case, the complete withdrawal of U.S. forces from Syria, given all the domestic pressures you have vis-a-vis impeachment, because the president has been clear that he wants to get out of these sort of never-ending protracted wars. And this announcement at least promises that possibility.
What are the implications for the U.S. abroad?
So I think what critics would say is the biggest implication is that the U.S. doesn't stand by its partners on the ground, and that the U.S. is not a reliable partner. I think broadly in Syria, the absence of U.S. presence will be filled arguably by countries like Russia and Iran that are also operating in Syria. And I think there are concerns that you will see the Kurdish allies not only not have faith in the United States, but be forced to start negotiating with regional actors like Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian president. And so the sort of implication, I think, broadly speaking, is that the U.S. will lose influence in Syria and will create openings for its foes to gain influence in the region.
Wall Street Journal reporter Nancy Youssef, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
President Trump's tax returns have been a huge issue since the 2016 campaign. Today, a federal judge in New York ruled that Trump's accountants must turn over 8 years of his personal and business tax returns, and that it is not unconstitutional to subject the president to the criminal process. The ruling was immediately appealed and put on hold by the Second Circuit Court. Joining me now in our studio with more on what comes next is The Wall Street Journal's Corinne Ramey. Corinne, tell us about the federal judge's ruling today. He said the president is not immune from criminal investigations while he's in office.
So this lawsuit was filed by Trump against the Manhattan District Attorney, Cy Vance, and Trump's longtime accounting firm, Mazars USA. And Vance is investigating something having to do with the president's businesses and payments that were made, and so had asked the accounting firm for 8 years of tax returns, both personal returns and business returns. And Trump's lawyers had said this was unconstitutional, that a sitting president can't be subjected to what they called criminal process. And they defined criminal process very broadly as not just, say, arrest or indictment or going to jail, but actually being investigated, having your documents subpoenaed by a third party. And the judge really, in 75 pages and fairly strongly worded, said this is not the case that – here, I'll read you a quote, actually – he fully rejected this idea, said, "This court cannot endorse such a categorical and limitless assertion of presidential immunity from judicial process." And he also said this court finds such aspects of such a doctrine repugnant to the nation's governmental structure and constitutional values. So basically, he just thought Trump's argument was incredibly broad, that this should apply to his contacts, his relatives, his businesses from before he was president.
Okay, so pretty strong words from the judge. But as expected, the judge's decision was immediately appealed by the president's lawyers. So what comes next?
So it was appealed within minutes. His lawyers wasted no time. And the Second Circuit, the appeals court, did issue a temporary stay, which basically is to sort of put the case on hold while it's considered further. Because the subpoena would have, or the accounting firm had to start turning over documents by 1 p.m. So time mattered in this particular case. And the Second Circuit will issue some sort of schedule for hearing arguments and eventually issuing a ruling.
We've seen a number of different tax return cases involving the president. What's different about this one?
This case is unique because the investigation is being carried out by a state prosecutor. And so it allows for Mr. Trump's lawyers to make sort of slightly different arguments, because they're saying that what they call county prosecutors particularly can't subject presidents to this, quote, criminal process, that a president could be investigated in all 50 states, and this would just indicate local prosecutors run amok and distract from a president's important executive duties while he's in office.
And what does the Justice Department think?
So the Justice Department has weighed in on this case, and they have agreed with Mr. Trump. They've said they haven't made this super broad argument about sitting presidents can't be investigated by a local prosecutor. But they've sort of bought themselves a little time to figure out what sort of argument they want to make. The Justice Department has said this certainly belongs in federal court, not state court, which is where, in a typical state subpoena, if you're sort of arguing over the what you need to comply with and what you don't, that's typically where that argument plays out. So the Justice Department has said this could have important sort of constitutional issues at stake, and so this case is of interest to them, too.
Wall Street Journal reporter Corinne Ramey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.